Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Monday. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. It is great to have all of you on board. Have the show here in the Sunbury Motor Studio today and tomorrow. And then we will have the mobile studio in place from Boston on Wednesday. Penn State will be playing Boston College in the ACC Challenge. John Donovan, relieved of his duties as offensive coordinator and tight ends coach at Penn State. That announcement made yesterday. Team was called in about noon yesterday to be told of the news. And now they will move forward with a national search. Linda from Lewisburg says the bickering needs to stop. Is that for me? Was I bickering with somebody? Or is this a message from a different time? I don't know. It's on my screen. It's great to have you. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. Love to hear from you and jump in. We've got several people lined up for today, which we will get into here in a few moments and talk about that. We'll also have our play-by-play call of the day. We'll also have along the way, this day in sports history, our sports bozo of the day, which there's never, ever a shortage of. There just isn't a shortage of them. And I was asked when we originally did this, I pointed this out on Friday's show, that, are you sure you're going to have enough material to cover that segment? I said, oh, yeah. So we'll have multiple nominees. I said every single day. And we do, to our credit, every single day. We have multiple nominees. All right. So give us a call. We're going to have Adam Bittner from the Post-Gazette on the show today. Rich Scarcello, Reading Eagle, on the show today as well. And I think we're going to have Donnie Collins, too, on the show. So we got a lot going on. We'll be talking with them as the day goes. And Adam Bittner is going to be in the next half hour. Rich will be in the 4:06 half hour. And so we keep everybody up to date and in tune with the opinions that people have across the area about Penn State and about Penn State football. So just jump right in, and again, we'd love to hear you. 800-795-9565 is the number to call. So they made the move. They decided to relieve John Donovan of his duties. It was done quickly. I think it buys them some time now to really do the search that James Franklin wants to do to find somebody and then go from there. Let's see. First caller up is Brian in Elysburg. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the show. Hello, Brian. We'll try it again. Hi, Brian. I can't hear anybody. Hello? Brian.
Hi, Steve. Yep.
Oh, there we go. Hi, Brian. How are you today?
Hey, very good, buddy. And, well, I think it was no shock to nobody what happened there, but I think a lot of people wish it would have happened a lot earlier, but what can you do? The main thing is all I can say is that hopefully they'll get somebody. I don't know if they're going to get somebody right away. I know I saw some things on the Internet last night that maybe they might go in-house. trying to get some of the guys, because I know one guy was, I'm trying to remember the guy, I think his name is Williams, I think. He's on the staff now, and he was on with in Vanderbilt and with Mr. Franklin and all that. So, or maybe there's even Jim Haslett, who's there now. Mm-hmm. So maybe that could happen, okay, too, you know. Sure.
We will, we'll see how that plays out. I don't know how that's going to play out. I'm in a wait-and-see mode like everybody else.
Yeah. But let me tell you one thing. You know, I'm not saying which way Hackenberg is going to go, but I know he, mm-hmm, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of him. And in my opinion, I think he's going to go pro, because how many times can you get sacked and get knocked around before you get a concussion really bad, you know? I'm not knocking nobody on the Penn State line, because, hey, those guys, you know, don't forget, you remember what Franklin said? Most of those guys were tight ends in high school, and most of them guys played defense, and they got converted. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you wholeheartedly what you said. You said, we'll have our day. It's going to be here, because even though one guy just decommitted from this class, they're going to be great. They're going to be great again. I know they will be. You know, and a lot of people are ripping Franklin over here in the local paper where I live at. They say, oh, you know, but hey, you know, things change, man. Look at everything in the world. Sports change, you know. You know, anything can happen in one day, so you never know what's going to happen. And I don't know if you saw my post on Facebook. What's your opinion of what game they're going to play in the bowl? And I'll listen on radio. You can let me know. We'll talk to you for the bowl game. One quick thing. I'm glad that the Lady Lions soccer team's in the national championships. That's great. So.
Yeah, College Cup. Yeah, they made it. They won, and they're in the national semifinal. It's a great year for Erica's team.
Oh yeah, you better believe it. And hey, I'm not just a football fan. I'm a Penn State fan. Well, we've discussed this a long time ago, so you know that already. Mm-hmm. So,
of course.
Okay, buddy. You take care. Yeah, we'll talk to you.
Okay, let's try and answer Brian's question. Brian's question is not an easy question to answer. It's not as easy as I thought it was going to be when it comes to what bowl game. This is, there are new rules in place. So there are certain areas, for example, they've now tiered the bowls. Tier one happens to be the Outback, the Citrus, and the Holiday. Tier two are the Pinstripe, Foster Farms, and either the Music City or the Tax Slayer bowls, the old Gator Bowl. That's in tier two. In all likelihood, Penn State's in tier two. You are not allowed to go to the same bowl 2 years in a row. So the Pinstripe Bowl is out. The only bowl you're allowed to go to in consecutive years is the Rose Bowl. And you can go to four straight Rose Bowls. It doesn't matter. But that's the only bowl in the Big Ten that you can go to in consecutive years. So the Pinstripe Bowl is out for that reason. So that goes to the side. Now what happens between the Foster Farms, Tax Slayer, and Music City Bowls? There have been three predictions made in the last 12 hours about bowl predictions. And each one of the three individuals had a different bowl that Penn State was in. One had Penn State in the Foster Farms Bowl against Tom Bradley and UCLA. One had Penn State in the Music City Bowl against, I think it was, Mississippi State. And another one had Penn State in the Tax Slayer Bowl against LSU or Georgia. I will say this about the let's explain how each one works. The Foster Farms Bowl has to take five different Big Ten teams over a six-year span. They took Maryland last year. The Tax Slayer and Music City Bowls, though, are in completely different categories. The Tax Slayer Bowl has to take three Big Ten schools over 6 years. They took Iowa last year, which means they're down now to two Big Ten selections over the next 5 years. Do they take a Penn State now and then cut themselves down to one Big Ten school over a four-year span, and then the other ones being ACC schools? Or do they say they'll take an ACC school now and kind of make it two out of four? The Music City Bowl really is now in the opposite category. The Music City Bowl is also like the tax layer where they have to take three different Big Ten teams over a six-year span, same as the tax layer. But they didn't take a Big Ten team last year. So in reality, they're down to taking three Big Ten teams over a five-year span. So you would think that there's the door is open to the possibility of that. So that's how it stands, and I don't really know where they're going to go. It's all a pure guess on anyone's part right now. You'd think, you know, well, I have inside information. No, I don't. Very quickly about Penn State. I'll talk about this, about where Penn State football is, where it's been, and where it's going in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
The Selins Grove Chamber of Commerce invites you to celebrate the season in Old Town Selins Grove. Starting off with Late Shoppers Night, Tuesday, December 1st from 6 until, well, until the reindeer come home. Enjoy dinner downtown and a unique shopping experience, including the craft show at the All Saints Episcopal Church. Then board a carriage for the Selins Grove Commons to gather around the tree with Santa. Sip hot cider and enjoy freshly roasted chestnuts as carolers fill the air with song. Old Town Selins Grove, where you can dine at Emma's Food for Life. Healthy, local, and fresh fine dining. Wander the Firehouse Marketplace for unique antiques and collectibles. Fine jewelry at Boss Jewelers. Life's memories start here. And Northumberland National Bank. Northumberland National Bank is your local community independent bank. Our customers always come first. For event details, go to SelinsGroveChamber.com.
Christmas time in Selins Grove.
Next half hour, Adam Bittner, PostGazette.com. Then Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle at 4:06. Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune at 4:35. Great to have you on board today at 1-800-795-9565. We know the great history of Penn State football. We've all seen it for ourselves. I got a chance to see it, obviously, up close. We also know what's happened here in the last 4 years. Bill O'Brien and his staff stepped in, and they had to make big decisions shorthanded. When you're told you're going to have 15 scholarships and a 65-man roster, you have to pare back the roster, and then you have to recruit judiciously. You have to make decisions. Do I take this guy or do I take this guy? Because you can't take both of them. I think everyone knows that. When you were, and then there were the, quote, givebacks. Well, the givebacks were done in a very odd way around here. You're told you have 20 scholarships. Then about 10 days before you get to national 11, 10th day, you're told, well, no, actually, you can rework the numbers to get to 25. So now you work like a madman to get the final five scholarships. And then you're told you're going to get 20 or 21 scholarships last year, and then about 10 days before, some recalculating, you get to scramble and take five extras. Okay. So the entire matter has been handled in terms of the NCAA and how they've done it. It's been clumsy how they've done it. And it's been late how they've done it. So if you're wondering why there's not a scholarship kicker on there and so forth, if you're going to recruit a scholarship kicker, you got to do that one early. You can't do it late. And when you're trying to restock a roster, that's a tough one to sit back and say, I've got 20. Do I fill one of the 20 with a kicker? You get 25? Yeah, now you're sitting there. I'm absolutely going to fill it with a kicker. That's an example. But also, there's been a sense from people that, well, they're back to 85. It's normal now. Everything's all normal. You have to be kidding me. It's anything but. It becomes a recovery process. And in the recovery process, it takes time. Now, people don't want to hear that, but you know, but I'm going to say it anyway because you need to hear it. Right? You need to have some straight talk as to what's going on. Let's be honest about it. You lose Naeem Wortman White. Okay. Now you're filling that spot with somebody who is not quite in that category. And then all of a sudden, then you take Jason Kabinda and you move him over, and Troy Reader becomes the starting outside linebacker. And they're fine. They're fine players. Nothing wrong with Kabinda or Reader. But who's backing up Brandon Bell? Who's backing up Troy Reader? Who? Well, initially, two walk-on players who are very good players and hard-working players, but they're not of the caliber of the guy that's starting right now. The caliber of the guy that's starting right now is much better. So, yeah, no offense to them, but there's a drop-off, and plus Ben Klein's hurt, you don't have him. So when Penn State has an injury like that, the domino effect is incredible. Same thing up front. You lose Sickles, you lose Nassib. Now you move that a lot to end. Barney becomes a defensive tackle. Now you're going to move Torrance Brown in, who's a redshirt freshman. And now you're going through the merry-go-round as to how to handle that. When Michigan State loses its outside linebacker, John Reschke steps in, who's played a lot. That is the equivalent. Let's go back now to Penn State. That is the equivalent of the second Michael Motti knee injury against Temple a few years ago. That happened down at the link. What did Penn State do when Motti got hurt? Nathan Stupar stepped in. Seventh round draft pick, NFL draft pick on an NFL roster. He's the guy that stepped in for Michael Motti. And there's no drop off. Now you're still in that precarious area, especially up front. Penn State's guard play has to absolutely be better. We know that. We know that, but that takes a lot of time. And you better get used to 7-win seasons. I think it's amazing they've stayed above water all 4 years throughout the course of this. But the establishment of a 9-year program at Michigan State, where they were patient with Mark D'Antonio, he was 22-17 his first 3 years with 3 bowl losses at Michigan State. All he was overcoming was John L. Smith. I mean, you have to. Everybody wants this to be at the accelerator where you hit the accelerator, put it to the floor, and you're right in the thick of the national championship playoff. You don't think I want the accelerator hit and be broadcasting in Indianapolis on Saturday? Of course I do. And do you want to be in Indianapolis Saturday? Of course you do. But you have to be realistic. I mean, they took a baseball bat to this place. Over and over again, like it was a pinata. And it takes a process to get back. Now, I know people look at, obviously, salaries and things like that, and they, I want my $4.5 million worth of performance now. Well, unfortunately, they brought him in to be the CEO at a time where he first had to rebuild, restructure the company, and then start making profits again. It's not easy. Patience doesn't exist in sports anymore. Mark Richt got 15 years at Georgia, won 145 games. They canned him. How many of you would like to see 145 wins in 15 years? I know I would. I looked at the history of Georgia football. They have 2 national championships in 1942 with Wally Butts and in 1980 with Vince Dooley when they had Herschel Walker. That's been it. Georgia wants to have everyone think that they have this deep, steep Alabama, Penn State, USC, Texas kind of lineage. Georgia's always been really, really good, and on occasions they've been great. Good luck to them. Mark Richt wasn't good enough. They're going to need luck. It's going to take Penn State a little bit, but as I said at the end of the broadcast, Penn State will have its day, and I think its day is coming sooner rather than later.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Why? Because their customers know they get them the best price on the best insurance that they need. What more do you want? Customer service means everything. The Purdy's are masters at it. All right, time now for This Day in Sports History. 1971, ABC TV aired the movie Brian's Song, the movie about Bears running back Brian Piccolo and his friendship with Gale Sayers. Yes, I actually watched it that night in 1971. It was quite an emotional, tear-jerking movie. Billy Dee Williams, James Caan, really good. Really good. You can still see it today, obviously. That's what they created cable for. 1991, the first Women's World Cup in soccer. The United States won it, beat Norway 2-1. 1993, the NFL awarded its 30th franchise. They gave it to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And in 2005, the Bruins traded their captain Joe Thornton to the San Jose Sharks for Marco Sturm, Wayne Primo, and Brad Stewart. Oh, well. All right, let's shift gears now. Let's bring in Adam Bittner, formerly of the Daily Collegian, now at the PostGazette.com. Adam, it's great to have you back. Welcome.
Hey, Steve, great to talk to you.
Okay. Well, I think like everybody else, everybody's reacting to the decision about John Donovan. What were your thoughts?
I think it's interesting. I'm a little. I don't think it necessarily reflects super well on whatever James Franklin's long-term vision was for this program to part ways with John Donovan right now. Just because I feel like it's pretty obvious if you look back at his history at Vanderbilt that he had had some success with quarterbacks who had some mobility, and that kind of added that dimension to the offense. And I think, he was swimming upstream, not only dealing with an inexperienced offensive line in 2 years here, but a quarterback who in Christian Hackenberg, who has a lot of tools, but mobility isn't necessarily one of them. So I just felt like it was kind of a bad match from the start. And I think for the last couple of years, you kind of thought, okay, well, we'll see how this goes for a couple of years. And maybe once he gets a more mobile quarterback in here, things might be able to click a little better. But he didn't really get that chance, which makes me question, why was he brought in the first place to coach Christian Hackenberg? You knew that it wasn't a good fit. And, and you knew that maybe Donovan's background didn't match up with what Hackenberg's skills were, then why did you go through these 2 years if there wasn't going to be a payoff in year three or year four, with the consistency and getting some different personnel in there? So I'm kind of questioning what the long-term vision was of bringing him in here in the first place. And I understand, that the offense looked how it did and people want people to be accountable for that. But I think it doesn't reflect super well.
Okay. But now you got to move forward and pick an offensive coordinator. In your opinion, does it come from the staff or does it come from outside?
I think that's something that James Franklin's going to have to decide what he's comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
If he's comfortable with an assistant, if he thinks somebody's ready for that role, then I think you go with that. I think a lot of people are looking at big names out there and hoping that maybe Penn State can bring somebody in, who might have a little bit more of a track record than anybody who's on the staff currently. So I think it's all going to be about comfort level and we don't know what Christian Hackenberg's doing yet, and I
right.
think that's
right.
a conversation that has to happen as well. Just because if he is coming back. Obviously you'd want to get it right this time, and you'd want to get someone who is a good fit with him and can be a good fit with, the recruits coming in behind him.
Right. Clay Helton ended up staying at USC. He had his tryout for them. they liked it. He's going to the Pac-12 championship game. And Les Miles is staying at LSU, but Mark Richt is out at Georgia. Has this been as, I don't know, crazy, maybe not be the right way, as interesting a run the last month when it comes to coaching changes that you've seen?
I think it's been an interesting season for coaching changes, not just the past month, just because, it seems like this year's kind of been a sea change in that a lot of programs started cutting bait, you know, once things were clearly not going well. And there were some, there were some mitigating circumstances in some cases. USC is a good example. I'm not sure what they would have done had it not been for some of the other issues that Steve Sarkisian was facing. But I think it's interesting how many programs just kind of cut bait once they knew that the season wasn't going to turn out how they wanted it to, and didn't really wait until the end of the season to start moving on.
And that's what I find interesting too, is that I wonder if for example, Richt is taken care of now. And I wondered about this with the Maryland situation, that it buys you more time in your search in terms of your short list of getting in touch with agents. Because, look, that's what I always love about this. I haven't talked to anybody. Well, yeah, you haven't talked to anybody. But maybe your agent has. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think that buys some schools time in dealing with agents and to gauge some interest?
Absolutely. I think especially, not waiting till the bowl game happens, that also opens up time. Last year, I just read John Bacon's book about Michigan, and he talked about how the Harbaugh situation wouldn't have worked out if they'd held on to Brady Hoke for the bowl game, and how they, were able to move more quickly, in getting him in and lining up with the end of the NFL season. And you know what? I think the USC situation is really interesting in that they gave someone who was on the staff a chance to show what they have. And I think that's kind of an interesting strategy, in that you're paying these people. You already have decided that you're going to go in a different direction with the head coach, but you're paying these assistant coaches who may be up for, major college coaching jobs somewhere else. So why not see what you have in them first through, six games and then make a determination if you think that that's something that you can work with or if, you want to go outside the program. But at least it gives you options, rather than, cutting everyone loose at the end of the season with the head coach that you fire and not really knowing what you had on your staff.
Right, exactly. And the AD at Georgia says he made the decision driving home from a win.
Mm-hmm.
He's driving home from the Georgia Tech game, which they won 13-7. He says, kind of thought it over. Yeah, 145 wins in 15 years. Yeah, that would bug me. Don't that bother the living daylights out of me. So, whatever. What about this idea that bowl games could go dark because they don't have enough teams?
I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah, I'm with you.
There's way too many of these games. I like a fun, obscure bowl game on a random December weekday as much as anyone. There should be. You've got to draw the line somewhere, and I think drawing the line at being a 500 team is a good idea, just because. You want to see teams that at least have shown something during the season, and you want it to retain at least a modicum of the prestige that it used to have.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't mind sitting back and watching the St. Petersburg Bowl or the Belk Bowl. To me, it's college football. I don't want to watch 5-7 teams play. I don't. I don't watch 5-7 teams play in the regular season if it's a game, and I don't want to watch them compete in a bowl game. That to me, when I saw they went to 40, and believe it, here's another one. There are three more cities, that have applied for bowl games. Three more have applied. You'd need 86 teams. There's only 129. It's insane.
Yeah, and everybody talks about getting that extra practice time. well, you know, how much of an advantage is it to have that extra practice time if everybody's getting the extra practice time? You know, and you know, I think you should have to earn something like that to some degree. I mean, 6 and 6 teams aren't a whole lot better than 5 and 7 teams, but at least, you know, they got an even record and you know, they achieved that much, and you'd like to see them get rewarded for something that a 5 and 7 team didn't.
Yeah, they're deciding today because they need five, right?
Yeah,
there were 17 schools that had a chance to get to 500 when the week began last week. 17, mm-hmm. So they needed 9 out of 17 to win. 5 did.
Mm-hmm.
Under the old system, they'd still be one short.
Right. One.
It's insane. College football playoff. Iowa plays Michigan State this week. I mean, that is as a playoff game if there's ever a playoff game. It's like a quarterfinal game. What do you think of the matchup?
I think it's a great matchup. I think it's something fresh, you know. And I think, you know, I shouldn't say something fresh. The Big Ten championship game, since it's been instituted, you know, has been different every year. And you've had your Michigan States and your Wisconsin's roll through, you know, every couple of years, but you've gotten different matchups pretty much every year. It hasn't been, you know, Ohio State dominating it, even though they've kind of dominated the conference over the last 10 plus years. So I think this kind of adds to the sense that you get to see two different teams in there with a lot on the line. You know, I think the college football playoff would also work, you know, a lot better if these were kind of quarterfinal games. And that, you know, you're playing these games to get into the tournament. You know, we have 5 power conference teams, and these games, you should be able to play your way in, I feel like. And then have 3 at-large spots. You know, I kind of like the idea of going to 8 teams, you know, just because I feel like that would add to these championship games that are already in place. And, you know, in some cases, the teams that, that win these conference title games, who aren't the favorites. You know, obviously, you know, some years you don't have 2 teams that could conceivably make the playoff in Iowa and Michigan State. And it would be interesting to see, you know, teams kind of pull upsets and get themselves into that tournament through the conference championship games, much like they can, you know, in March Madness through the conference tournaments.
In fact, we saw what the Big 12 had a championship game. Kansas State lost and got bumped out.
Mm-hmm.
When they had a chance, when everyone thought they were going to play for the national championship. Good point. Hey, Adam, thanks so much. It's great to have you with us. Thanks for the insight.
Absolutely. No problem, Steve.
Adam Bittner, formerly of the Daily Collegian, now postgazette.com. We will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. The Mark Richt thing is really strange. He gets let go, and I think it was Mark Slaybaugh is the one that wrote on ESPN.com that he won a lot of games, just not the right games. Well, in the history of Georgia football, what have been the right games? You look at the history of Georgia football, Wally Butts won a national championship in 1942 and Vince Dooley in 1980. Outside of
those two guys, explain to me who's had a better era at Georgia than Mark Richt has. Now, again, I'm on the outside looking in, but I don't know what they want or what they expect. We're in an era now where a lot of people don't realize it took Bobby Bowden 16 seasons before he finally won his first national championship at Florida State. It took Joe Paterno, despite having some undefeated seasons in 68, 69, and 73, it took him 17 seasons before he won officially the first national championship. The 69 team was recognized by a service. The 81 team was recognized by a couple of services. But 82 was the first official one. And you're never going to see that again. You're never going to see somebody get 15, 16 years before they win the first national championship unless there's a dramatic change in expectations among media and fan base. Is it going to be now that the standard is, yeah, you got to the Final Four playoff, you know, three times in 10 years, but you didn't win it? Is that it? Gene Chizik won a national championship. 2 years later, he was gone. They bring in Gus Malzahn. Oh, used all of Gene Chizik's recruits, got to the national championship game. Now what have they done the last 2 years? They've been good, not great, because in part they're in transition in the program. Jim Harbaugh had a really good year this year, but he got lucky. The one area in the football team he was in bad shape in, he solved with a fifth-year transfer quarterback from Iowa. And he has a senior team, and they're getting to a transition stage. Brady Hoke, remember, Brady Hoke stepped in and went 11-2 his first year with Rich Rodriguez's recruits. So I don't, you know, we're in a really odd era where, you know, Les Miles was on the chopping block, it appeared, last week until the athletic director finally came out to the game and said, no. He's our coach. And I asked the question then, you're sitting in a conference room looking at people, and you say to them, okay, all right, you want him out. Okay, I'll accept you want him out. Now answer me this question. Who do you think is better that we can get? And I would not want a single person to come back at me and say, well, that's your job. No, that's not my job. You just told me you want him out. So since you want him out, you better tell me who I should be calling to get. That's exactly what I'd say in that room. Okay, since everyone in this room is convinced you want him out, then you tell me in this room who your suggestion is for me to call. Well, that's not our job. Then it's not your job to tell me you should stay or go. You're saying it's my job to hire him. He's the guy I'm keeping. It's too easy. Firing is an easy thing to do. Maintaining is difficult. Now, obviously, John Donovan was let go yesterday by James Franklin. James Franklin is an intensely loyal guy to his staff, so it had to be a hard thing for him to do to come to that conclusion. Very difficult. But he made the move, and now we're going to find out exactly what he wants to do with that spot. Do you move somebody up internally, or do you bring in somebody from the outside? Either way, you'll hire a new coach somewhere on the staff. And the coach will be on the offensive side of the ball. You're not going to flip any of the defensive guys over, obviously. So it could be somebody elevated from the staff, or it could be somebody from the outside completely. And we'll then see how it plays out. But the recovery job here at Penn State is not an easy one, and it's not something where you take care of it right away. I talked about the linebacking spot. You know, Jake Cooper and Manny Bone were not supposed to play this year. The day before the Temple game, they were in the weight room doing the weight room routine of the non-travel group because they weren't supposed to play. But when Naeem Wortman got hurt and with Ben Klein already out, what then were the options for the staff? Their backup guys were two fine, hard-working players, but both walk-ons who, while being fine, hard-working players, can do things up to a point but can't do everything you need. And that's just a fact of life. That's where you are. When Mike Motti got hurt, Nate Stupar stepped in. That's the difference of where the program was and what the program's trying to get back to. That's just an example of one position on the field. You lose Nassib and Sickles, suddenly Anthony Zettel's a defensive end.